WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
After covering the Olympics 7 times for his newspaper, the Deseret News, Lee Benson is writing about the Winter Games coming to his hometown, Salt Lake City. The Games start February 8th. His book is called Lee Benson's Inside Guide to the Games. Benson is now a columnist for the Deseret News. He plans on writing a column a day during the Olympics. The Olympic organizers always knew they'd need tight security, but the security has become even tighter as a result of September's terrorist attacks. I asked Benson what he knows about the security plans.
I guess the budget has gone up over $300 million. The Attorney General, Ashcroft, has been here for quite a number of days just recently. We've also had in every organization with every acronym you can think of, FBI, CIA, and it's just ever-present now. I saw a National Guardsman yesterday with a rifle on his back guarding a parking lot on the west side of Salt Lake City with about 4 cars in it. And this is well before the games begin. So it has become the omnipresent issue of the Winter Games.
What other signs of security are you already seeing, like barricades in the streets, razor barbed wire?
There, I haven't seen any razored barbed wire, but you do see the barricades going up on the street, although that's a bit misleading because all Olympics shut down streets and allow for tents to be put up in different Olympic venues. But, for instance, I live very near the Olympic Park where the jumping and the bobsled luge and skeleton races will take place. In my neighborhood now, I can't walk where I once was able to walk. So I come around the corner where I could just loop right around the Olympic Park, and now there is a fence that's about 10 feet high and a guard that is there around the clock.
Now, I understand that in addition to things like fighter jets in the skies during the Olympics, there's going to be around 3,000 closed-circuit TV cameras in place around the city for security reasons. What do you know about those closed-circuit TV cameras and how they're going to be used and what people's concerns are about that?
Well, I know a little bit about that, probably more than I should, but I have talked to a few individuals, and they've told me that, for instance, on Park City Main Street, which will be a huge gathering point for the Olympics, there are video cameras lining the entire street. The freeway that connects Park City, its mountain venues with Salt Lake City, the hub of the Olympics, that's I-80, and it has in the hundreds of cameras that are along that freeway. So every inch of the freeway between Park City and Salt Lake City is under video surveillance. That will be really good for transportation, hopefully, but it will also be able to pinpoint any problems or potential problems.
Now, has Salt Lake recovered from the bribery scandal, the charges that officials offered more than $1 million in bribes in order to bring the games to Salt Lake?
I'm not sure Salt Lake will ever recover from that so-called bribery scandal because we are such a guilt-ridden people. Maybe that's not that unusual, but I think that you go back in the history of that scandal, and which was broken by NPR, by the way, and Howard Berkus, who is a crack reporter here and an excellent journalist, and I really think that it was his work that brought it to the attention of the world. Yes, there was a lot of excessive bidding that went on. People were given plastic surgery and dental treatment and shopping excursions to Walmart. I mean, we really threw it out to them, but at the end, there were only about $1 million worth of gifts and inducements, which pretty much parallels other cities, but there were a lot of people in Salt Lake when they found out we'd given anything, kind of blew the whistle on ourselves, and I think that's the case of our culture. So the scandal is kind of a self-created thing, and I think it will remain for a long time. Will it cast a shadow on the games? Luckily, I don't think much, because the case has been dismissed by a federal judge. It's now on appeal at the Court of Appeals, But as we all know, these things take a lot of time, and it could be 12 months to 18 months before anything, if anything, is done on that case.
What are the most anticipated events at the Winter Games?
Oh, the most anticipated events at the Winter Games, you know what it's turned out to be, and this is kind of ironic, but they determined that they would have a free ticket for these games, and that would be to the Medals Plaza with spectator seating of 20,000 smack in the middle of Salt Lake City, right across from where the figure skating will be held and where the Jazz play when it's not the Olympics, right? So that seemed like a great idea to get the common person into an event, even if they couldn't afford a ticket. And then somebody decided, we're going to have this great entertainment. We're going to have Sheryl Crow. We're going to have Dave Matthews. We're going to have Brooks and Dunn, all these great acts, and we're going to have them perform on this stage before they award the Olympic medals. And so now that's become the hottest ticket in town. They're scalping those tickets on eBay that were free for, in excess of $100.
Are there any new sporting events that will be held at the Winter Olympics this year?
Yes, yes and no. The skeleton, which is like riding down on a sled face first, that's an event that hasn't been held in the Olympics except for at a special run in St. Moritz, Switzerland, in 1928, 1948, when the Olympics were there, it was held. And otherwise, it hasn't been an Olympic event. Salt Lake is going to have skeleton racing, and then presumably that it will be an Olympic sport from now on.
It's actually an arcane but pretty incredible sport where you're riding flat on your stomach on this sled that's really close to the ground. I think your chin is about 2 inches off the ground when you're riding on this. And the average, I think, is like 80 miles an hour. Sounds really intense.
It's very intense. The skeleton track record over at Olympic Park is actually just a tad over 90. That's top speed, 90 miles an hour. And your chin is a couple of inches off the ground when you start. They say that there isn't a skeleton racer alive who can keep it up off the ice the entire run. So they have their chin very well padded because about half or three quarters of the way down, you start bouncing off the ice. Why anyone wants to do that one is a bit beyond me, but it'll be a great event.
Now, I imagine that, since you wrote this guide to the Winter Games, that the two questions you're asked the most by people out of town, that the questions would be, where should I eat, and is it true that Mormons have lots of wives?
Right. In fact, I looked forward, as a Mormon myself, I looked forward to writing a couple of sections about Mormon culture and who we are, because when the world descends on Utah, they're going to be interested in this polygamy question about more than one wife. And so I know single-handedly I'm not going to stem that tide, but it's a very small part of our culture here, and it definitely is not a part of the Mormon church. If you practice polygamy, if you have more than one wife in the Mormon church, then you're excommunicated. And I think that's a good thing, at least to say. It still will be a big media issue when the Olympics come, I'm sure.
Well, the Olympics is probably a big issue for the Mormon church because since I think it's about 65% of the population in Utah is Mormon, or at least in Salt Lake, there's going to be a lot of press attention on the church. The church is known for its proselytizing, but the church president has asked Mormons not to proselytize to Olympic visitors, not to hand out the Book of Mormon. Can you talk a little bit about what's been happening behind the scenes in the Mormon church in preparation for the Olympics?
Well, I sure am not an official spokesman for the Mormon church, but I can say that the president of the church, the prophet Gordon B. Hinckley, has cautioned us to not be obnoxious. And I think that, of course, Christianity is a missionary religion, and there will be always missionary efforts by Christians, I suppose, or at least most denominations. And the church is, I know that they have remodeled both of their visitors' centers on Temple Square, and there will be a concerted effort to put our best foot forward and to present the message of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But beyond that, I think the goal here by the church is to is to be subtle and to just present that here we are, this is where we live. 69% of the state, as you suggested, is Mormon. In Salt Lake City, it's 59%. There are places such as Provo, where some of the Olympic hockey will be held, that is as high as 91% Mormon. So, in effect, people just coming here will be able to be immersed in Mormonism without having to be hit over the head by it.
Now, this suggestion that Mormons not proselytize during the Olympics, was that considered controversial?
No, I don't think so. Generally, when you're an active member of the Mormon Church and the prophet says something, there doesn't tend to be a whole lot of controversy, just because of the way that the church is oriented. So no, you didn't hear a lot of grumbling. In fact, some people probably sighed relief because now they don't have to go out and have guilt about how many people they're supposed to tell about the Book of Mormon.
My guest is Lee Benson, author of A New Guide to Salt Lake City and the Olympic Winter Games. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Lee Benson. He's a columnist for the Deseret News in Salt Lake City and author of A New Guide to Salt Lake and the Olympic Winter Games. Now, for people who are visiting Salt Lake, are there any unusual regulations pertaining to the purchase or consumption of alcohol?
The alcohol laws, like polygamy, will, I assume, receive a lot of attention because there are laws in the state that aren't common, I guess, everywhere else. They aren't as rigid as people think, I suppose. There are certainly no dry areas in Salt Lake City or in Utah, but there are some rules I guess people will have to get used to. You can't have a drink in a restaurant in Salt Lake City or in Utah unless you also have some food with it. So you have to come in and order something to eat before you can order a drink. And then the other kind of unique rule here is that you can't get an alcohol list unless you ask for it. In other words, they don't just bring it to your table like the food menu.
What's the rationale for having to order food when you order a drink? Is that for each drink you have to order more food, or just like in order to get any drinks you have to order one item of food?
I think it's one item of food, and then you can go ahead and order drinks, but you can't order two drinks at once. You have to finish one before you start the other. And I chuckle because it's foreign to me, and I learned all this to put it in my guidebook, but I'd lived here my whole life. And I think in a way that kind of reflects the culture here in Salt Lake and in Utah. There are some of us who don't drink, who these laws just, we don't think about them because they don't apply. And then you have to, when you think about the whole world coming and everything, it makes you stop and think and be a bit more sensitive to people who these do matter to.
Now, being from Salt Lake, I'm sure you're going to feel very protective of your hometown when people from around the world converge on it. But also being a journalist who's covered 7 Olympic Games, you know what it's like to be the outsider coming to the Olympics. So do you think that'll give you more empathy and more of an understanding for the people outside coming to Salt Lake?
I would love to find a journalist who has been in the boat I've been in a couple of games, wandering around the main media center and be able to go over, put my arm around him and say, hey, here, let me help you out. I being on the inside is a nice, comfortable feeling for a change. And I do know the feeling of going to a place that is totally foreign and you just lost. So I'm going to look for those people with the deer in the headlight looks and see if I can't help them out. I probably will find one or two. I'm sure there will be many, just like myself. I remember in Albertville, France, I hadn't a clue the first week that I was there, and it took a lot of work to find out where I was going, what I was doing.
Well, Lee Benson, thank you very much for talking with us, and I hope you have some time to actually enjoy the Olympics.
This time, probably more than ever, sleep in my own bed and only have to do, you know how it is, you go to an Olympics elsewhere and the editor says, oh yeah, do this sidebar and find this person and do a story. And this time we've got 42 people credentialed at our newspaper to cover the Olympics, so I'll have it pretty easy.
Lee Benson is a columnist for the Deseret News in Salt Lake City. His new book is called Lee Benson's Guide to the Games.